Hello, welcome to Workplace Wake Up. I'm Jen Shaw. Every week, I spend about 15 minutes covering key legal developments, introducing you to interesting guests, and providing some entertainment to start your workday. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. We are going to talk about the 32-Hour Workweek Act, which has been proposed by Senate Help Chairman Bernie Sanders. All right, everyone, let's just get our minds around this concept. The idea is that the world has gone through incredible changes since the 40-hour work week was set by the Fair Labor Standards Act in 1940. Now, remember, the Fair Labor Standards Act is the federal law that dictates wage hour rules for every employee in the country. Many states like California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, Oregon, Hawaii, Colorado have very specific additional wage and hour rules that employers have to deal with. The Fair Labor Standards Act is the minimum, all right? And what they have said is if you work more than 40 hours a week, you are entitled to overtime. So the idea is that, do we want to change that 40-hour work week? And Senator Sanders does. He has made this proposal before. You might be aware that the California legislature actually proposed a bill similar to this one in 2022 for employers with 500 or more employees. It did not pass. It did not get out of committee. But the idea is that you would get overtime. We would pay non-exempt employees overtime when they reach 32 hours rather than 40 hours. So the first thing to think about is, okay, well, why is this even being proposed? Well, according to Senator Sanders, American workers are way more productive than we used to be, not only due to technological advances, but also just learning how to do things better generation over generation. And weekly wages, according to Mr. Sanders, for non-exempt employees are actually lower than they were 50 years ago if you adjust for inflation. Yet, CEOs, presidents of these companies are making more than 400 times what their employees earn. So Mr. Sanders, or Senator Sanders, not surprisingly, is focusing on the social side of this, right? That people are working too much for too little, and the bosses, in quotes, are making so much more than they are that we need to do something to sort of try to even the playing field a little bit. Also, working families, according to Senator Sanders, are definitely challenged by working a 40-hour work week. And I get this. I'm a single mom, and I know how tough it is to try to get the kids to school and the kids to their sports and try to get everything done in a 40-hour work week can be tough. Now, many other countries, which I find this fascinating, have already moved to a 32-hour work week. In fact, some countries have even gone fewer than that. France has a 35-hour work week, but they are going to be reducing it to 32 hours. Norway and Denmark have about 35 hours a week, and in some situations, 30 hours a week. And of course, they were just designated some of the happiest people on the planet, folks who are in Norway and Denmark. So maybe there's something to do with their work week. I don't know. And there are studies that show that even if we took away one day a week from the five-day work week or the 40-hour work week, because of AI-led productivity gains, there probably would not be much of a reduction in productivity. Now, in the United Kingdom, they recently did a four-day week pilot. They had 3,000 workers at 60 companies, and over 70% of the workers said they were happier, they had greater satisfaction with their work, they felt less burnout, and according to the study, at least 35%, or the companies who participated, had a 35% increase in revenue. Now, there was a separate pilot in the U.S. and Canada that showed similar results. Also, of course, lower childcare costs and reduced carbon emissions. Now, of course, the unions support this bill that has been proposed by Senator Sanders. The AFL-CIO, the UAW, the SEIU, the AFA-CWA, every union out there. The question is, is this something you should think about as an employer, even though it's not a law. Even though this bill of Senator Sanders is probably not going to get out of committee. Because, or if it gets out of committee, it's not going to be adopted by both houses. It's just not. Because politics, the way they are right now, if you haven't noticed, nobody in Washington can agree on anything. So I can't believe that they would agree on this. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I don't think so. The really interesting part to me is to think about whether adopting a 32-hour work week would be good for your organization in terms of retention, in terms of recruitment, in terms of morale. And that is what I think we should really look at. Because here's what's interesting. I just went to a conference a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas, and it was an amazing conference. So it's called the LEAP program, L-E-A-P, Labor Employment Advanced Practice. And what it is a group of amazing HR professionals, 250 of them, came together with some of the best lawyers in the country to talk about HR issues. And it was fascinating. I just loved it. And one of the things we talked a lot about was how you get people to your workforce. After COVID, a lot of people want to work at home. A lot of people have gone into running their own business. The number of Etsy stores has increased like 5,000% in the last year even. So there's a lot of people looking for different ways to go about this, different ways to work, different ways to schedule. And this 32-hour work week idea is something that I think we need to all look at. I'm not suggesting we run to adopt a 32-hour work week. What I am saying is we need to think about what the applicants and employees we come into contact with, what they want, what is important to them. What does it mean to have work-life balance? How can you provide a work environment where you're still making the revenue you need to make, helping your customers, clients, everyone you need to be helping, and keeping your employees happy? Now, I can tell you my own personal experience, that's not easy for me to figure out. I run a law firm. The only thing we sell are billable hours. When an employee comes to WearCare, if they're a lawyer, they agree to bill a certain number of hours. I'm very flexible. We let people pick how many hours they want to bill, and then they're paid accordingly. And if they pick X number of hours, then that's what they bill. Now, interesting, I had a discussion with one of our employees the other day who's a lawyer, and she's amazing. And she made this point to me that I just didn't get at the time, but I get it now, which is, look, Jen, you're asking people to do more work than they agreed to do. So even though I offer a really generous bonus for every hour somebody bills over their minimum billable hours, if they're a lawyer, and we give great staff bonuses, they don't work hardly any overtime, though. A staff person, they do work overtime sometimes, but very rarely. But when we're talking about the attorneys, this lawyer said to me, but Jen, I know you want us to do more work because we have more work in the firm, but that's not what we agreed to. And my initial reaction was, okay, but that's a minimum billable hour, right? We have to serve our clients. So you can't tell me, well, gosh, Jen, I know this client needs something, but I'm already at my minimum hours for this month. So I'm not going to take that work. That I don't understand that. But after talking to these people at the conference, I think I kind of get it, which is, look, this is the bargain that we agreed to. Now, obviously, I try to do what I can to incentivize people to take work when I have work that needs to be assigned, right? Because in a law firm, of course, you can't predict, just like in a manufacturing environment, how many widgets is somebody going to want to buy? How many hours of labor and employment advice is somebody going to need, right? We just don't have that ability to accurately predict that. And in a small firm like we run, it's not consistent. We'll be super busy one year during the holidays and not as busy the next year during the holidays. It just doesn't have a lot of rhyme or reason. So I'm always in the space of trying to find a home for work that needs to be done with attorneys who have already reached their billable hour requirement. And all of our attorneys, are total team players, willing to do whatever needs to be done. Don't get me wrong. But the conversation that I was having with Brooke was, Okay, but Jen, this is what we agreed to. And she's 100% right. So I have to hire more people if I'm going to get this work done, right? And that gets me back, a long-winded way to get me back to recruitment and retention. And I think this idea of the 32-hour work week or something like it, reducing schedules, letting somebody work one day a week at home if they can, whatever, you know, if the job makes sense, whatever we can do to try to make the job as beneficial to the employee as possible, not giving up our performance expectations, not reducing productivity, not losing profit, but actually trying to figure out what makes people tick. And what I really got from this conference was everybody ticks differently, right? So some folks who have kids still at home, they really value their personal time. I know I do. I mean, my daughter is getting ready to go into high school, and I can't believe I'm even saying that. It feels like she was just a week old. And I thought she would need me less as she got older. She needs me more. She doesn't know it, but she does, right? So I have to have more balance now than I ever did when she was younger. So I think when people are in different places of their lives, they need and want different things. So if we're going to be an employer of choice, if we're going to find the best employees and keep the best employees, we've got to be willing to bob and weave. We've got to be willing to look at what's going on in society, the social science aspect of things, and adjust. Be willing to look at things a little bit differently. So I really think when you look at this proposal of Senator Sanders, I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere. It's been proposed before. He's proposed it before. But we should be thinking about why he made the proposal, why all these unions are supporting it. Obviously, we want to work less. Everybody wants to work less. But I think most employees also understand that their employer can't have them work less if it means that we don't get the right number of widgets, right? If we can't figure out a way of getting everything done that we need to get done. So this proposal is worth looking at. It's worth considering. I don't care what your political beliefs are. I mean, I'm sort of the mind these days that it doesn't even matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. The whole system is broken. What we have to do as employers is band together to figure out what works for us, what works for our employees. And it may be a Republican proposal, it may be a Democratic proposal, I don't know. But the idea is we have to look at things fresh. We have to be willing to take a step back and look at these things when they come up, rather than dismissing them. There's a great book I was reading on the plane the other day, and I forget what it's called, of course. But it's about being willing to change your mind, and that the best leaders in the world are not stuck to their views. They are willing to say, hey, that's a new idea. I'm willing to look at that. I'm willing to take a new perspective. I'm willing to change what I'm doing. And it's not easy to do because for a lot of us, particularly as lawyers, we're trained, take a position and stick to it, right? Like you have to find a way to advocate for your client no matter what. I get that. But if you're managing, if you're in HR and you're trying to have the best and the brightest join you and stay with you, you've really got to be willing to reassess your assumptions and your beliefs. You've got to be willing to take a step back and say, okay, I never thought I'd say remote work would be okay, but we have folks who work remotely and they're doing a great job. So we have to be willing to re-examine and stay up with the times. If we are tone deaf about these issues of work-life balance, remote work, training, mentoring, coaching, if we just want to do it the way we've done it since 1940 when the FLSA decided we were going to have a 40-hour work week, we are losing opportunities. And eventually, we're going to lose our competitive edge. So I want you to think about not just Senator Sanders' bill, but this concept. What can we do to make the workplace better for our employees? How can we give them what they need to encourage them to give us what we need? One thing before we wrap up, everyone, I don't want you to forget about our 4My9 training on April 9th. These form I-9s are really getting tricky. And what you may not know is the Department of Homeland Security is using the Federal Department of Labor to do some pre-work for them on audits before they come in. And they are looking for criminal convictions, criminal sanctions of employers and their management teams for violations of I-9 rules. So if you have not heard about the new I-9 developments in 2024, you need to join that webinar. So don't miss it. It's on April 9th. You can register on our website. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is such an honor and privilege that you want to take some time to listen once a week. I hope I'll have you here next time, and I hope I'll see you soon at a conference or a training. Talk to you guys soon. Workplace Wake Up, including our guests and hosts, do not provide legal advice in this podcast. Do not act upon any of the information discussed in this podcast without first consulting a licensed attorney in your jurisdiction. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to spread the word, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and/or rate and review it. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and email us at info@shawlawgroup.com.